announcements. So today's Wednesday. We are starting our Galatians series. We're in Galatians chapter 1. For now, every Wednesday will be our Bible study. And we're in the book of Galatians. If you don't have a Bible, that is okay. You can use your phone. We use the King James translation. Other announcements, we're getting a new building here soon. Hopefully stay with us for that. It'll be really nice. We also have services every Wednesday, Friday, Sunday at 5:30 p.m. EST. We get in for fellowship, we hang out, we spend time with each other. Most people don't, it's a little antisocial, that is okay. Around 5:45, we get in for hymns, and then around 6 p.m. the preaching starts. That's really it for the announcements. Does anyone have any prayer requests?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, what's up?
Please pray for my stepmom. She's not been feeling too good here lately.
All right, pray for right now. Lord, I pray for Brother Demon Hunter's stepmom. Will you help her, Lord? Heal her, Lord? I just pray you bless her, Lord, and just help her during this time to recover, Lord. I just pray show her some grace and mercy in this situation, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Anybody else?
Amen.
Yep, I got one.
Yeah, what's your prayer request, brother?
Pray for me to do good on this exam coming up.
Yeah, I'll do right now. Father, I pray for Brother Spooky that you help him with his exam, Lord. I just pray give him the wisdom. Remind him, Lord, that your supply is there. The wisdom is there. The grace is there. You're the supply, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you help him to look to it, Lord, and rest in it, Lord, and know that you're working all things out for his good. Same for Demon Hunter here too, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. I want to have Brother Spooky come up, and he's going to read our chapter, Galatians chapter 1, full chapter for our Bible study. Thank you, brother.
You say Galatians chapter 1?
Yep.
Okay, give me one second. Galatians 1, okay. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men of God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which are right unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me.
Thank you, brother. All right, we're in Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to try in this series to get through each chapter as fast as I can. And hopefully, Lord, will give you some revelation from these chapters. Just before service, you guys were here. We had a guy who joined. And this is a good way to start with our chapter. His name was, I don't know what his name was, but he came here looking for a debate about a certain sin of homosexuality. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, Paul here in Galatia is dealing with a problem. His problem was that Judaizers came with a different gospel to swift away the region of Galatia. And this guy who joined here debated me, you know, was trying to make a big deal about homosexuality. By the way, the Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none good, no, not one. Romans 7:18, in my flesh will have no good thing. You're not good. Like it or not, we're not good people. You may say you're a good person all you want and think you're better than the people. Real, in God's eyes, you're not. Your flesh is godly, ungodly, wicked, perverse, with all its virtues and sins. That's why God judged at the cross. He's done with it. He expects nothing from it. But the issue is, this man here, and he's a Catholic. By the way, Catholics are no better than the Jews. You know, he's against Jews. Well, you know, Jews is about this Jesus. Well, the Catholic Church is falling in the Jews' religion. It's a Judaized church by mixing law with grace. I'm going to show you here that Paul's letter here, you want to know Paul's theology, you read Galatians. You want to know, not Romans, Galatians. Read Galatians first, you'll see it. And keep this in mind, Paul was pissed off. So when you're reading this letter, the first two chapters, you got to read like he's angry. Galatians chapter 1, Paul starts with his authority here. Paul, an apostle, not a man, neither by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Why is he defending his apostleship right away? Because the Judaizers from the early church in Jerusalem, these people claimed to believe in Jesus. These were Jews who believed in Jesus as the Messiah, but they were adding law to grace. And they were attacking Paul's authority, attacking his apostleship. And so Paul started his letter to Galatia, this region of Gentiles. And he says, Paul, how you doing? My name is Paul. And he's defending his authority. Paul's apostleship was unique. Okay, remember in number 17, there's a story in number 17 about the Amun-Ra, which was life came from God. So Paul's apostleship mirrors that story in number 17. It's life that came from God, not a man. And it shows you the authority of the gospel, who's behind it, the resurrection Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. I'm a little angry, so I'm going to preach a little angry. Just bear with me. He says, all the brethren which are with me unto the church of Galatia. He says, and so right here, Paul is not writing just one to one church. He's writing to a whole region, several congregations, more than several congregations in Galatia. And this letter is addressing a regional grift away from grace. Away from grace. Now, these were saved believers. They heard God's grace. They got saved. They believe it. But they start to let Judaizers come in. Oh, yeah, we're brothers too. We believe in Jesus. But if you want to get saved, or if you want to get right with God, you got to keep the Ten Commandments, or you got to get circumcised. So they're starting to add law to grace. And so this whole region were being removed from the grace of God. And Paul goes on to say this in verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father. Now Paul is saying grace, not law, grace to you. And peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this evil world, present evil world. What is the evil world? Is it LGBTQ protest? Is it Satanist statues? No, the evil world, according to the Bible, is this religious world, this driven performance system, this institutional religion by Judaizers. That's the evil world. And we're still under that, are we not? By this driven, performance-based system we live under? That many people think Christianity is about self-improvement or this just, you know, you better do right, don't do wrong. This under this conditional performance base. That's the evil world. The whole world didn't hate Jesus. Who hated Jesus? It was the Pharisees. What was that world? The religious world. They hated Jesus. So when the whole world would hate you, John says, it wasn't talking about everyone in the world is just going to hate you. I've talked to many people who are atheists, non-believers, and they're my friends. I'm their friends. The world that it's talking about is this religious world. Paul goes on to say, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, just real quick. Christ dying wasn't just to forgive our sins, not just to save us from hell, but to free us from religious bondage, to free us from law keeping, and it means to accept, to get God's approval. He died and set us free. My sermon I did a couple days ago, you're truly free. Yes, you are. And all that glory belongs to God alone, because salvation is entirely about what he did, not what we do. And any gospel that adds, whether it's human works, it robs him, robs God from that glory. Or whether it's, you know, rituals you do or sacraments you make up to what Jesus did, you're taking the glory away from God. Verse 6. Paul says this, I marveled that you're so soon removed from that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So believers can be, so we know that believers can be moved away from him. Not from salvation, but the joy of God's grace. This other gospel that Paul is talking about is not in the sense of another way of salvation, but rather was a perversion, because he goes on to say this, which is not another, but some would trouble and pervert the gospel of Christ. Just right now, before service, we had a guy here who knew the finished work of Jesus, but yet he was perverting it. And you see, how was he doing that? By adding law to it. Saying it's not enough to believe that. Oh, if you're gay, you can't just be gay and believe. You must stop being gay. So what he's doing? He's adding law to what? Grace. So now he's preaching a perversion. Especially in VR chat, there's different types of Christians. I'm not a patient guy. You saw that side of me. That's the side I want you guys, didn't want you guys to see. But I'm human. Okay? There's some things you want to know about me. My weakness is not patience. I don't have patience with Judaizers. I don't have patience with people who teach a false gospel of works. I don't waste my time with them. See, why is that? Read the next verse. If any man preaches any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. Paul says, even if I preach another gospel, let me be accursed. Now, he's talking about God's curse. He's talking about the curse of the law. So this man comes here and adds his filthy rags to the gospel of grace, and he completely destroyed it now. Perverted it, Paul says. And a lot of you play VR chat. You know, you come across people who trouble you, right? Maybe you, how many of you have your own communities on and you run? Raise your hand. I know Ashes does. Some of you do. Maybe not. Yeah, you have your own community. And what? You're troubled when trolls come, or maybe troubled or bothered when someone comes and causes issues. And think about Paul here. Paul was preaching grace and this church was built up. And remember, church back then wasn't like this. It wasn't one man speaking. It was a household. It was a gathering. Okay? Everyone was speaking. Everyone was talking. They were living with each other. And but these Judaizers came down from James and caused them to swift away from that grace. Listen, there's no other gospel. And what is the gospel? Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, the gospel I declare unto you. Now listen, I'm going to tell you this right. The gospel is not repentance of your sins. That's law keeping.
My bad.
Repentance is not turning from your sin. The word repent is a change of mind. Nowhere in the Bible does it say turn from sin to be saved. The Greek word for repent is metanoia, change of mind. Before you got saved, you either were trusting in your works or you were just an unbeliever. You changed your mind to trusting Christ alone. You had repented. But the gospel is not giving your life to Jesus. I hear this in churches all the time. Or submit to Jesus as Lord. Or invite him into your heart. Those are not the gospel. The gospel is what Jesus did for you. It's him giving his life to you. Paul says, I declare to you this gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose in the third. That is the gospel. If any man adds to that or takes away from that, is preaching a cursed gospel. So this looks different ways now, though. See, now you understand. Listen, look at me. Now you should understand the gospel. Now you know it's by faith in Christ that you're saved and faith alone. Now you recognize that. You should be able to discern between what is the true gospel and not. So these people in Galatia, they should have some common sense. Now what these people were preaching was another gospel. And Paul is saying, listen, I'm marveled, I'm shocked that you're moving away from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but a perversion. And there's a lot of perversions out there today. A lot. Not everyone comes up to you and says they're Christian is Christian. And you better discern. I don't mean to yell at you. I'm a little angry. Bear with me. If someone comes to you and says, well, it's not enough just to believe. Oh, false prophet. Walk away from him. Oh, okay, yeah, you're saved by faith, but if you want rewards and blessings from God, you got to keep the law. Oh, false prophet. Walk away from him. You see more in Galatians. This perversion that these Judaizers told Galatia, oh yeah, it's by believing in Jesus you're saved. If you want God's blessings, if you want his favor, get circumcised. Oh, keep the law. And Paul says, nah, that's another gospel. Verse 9. As we said before, I say now again, if any man preach any of the gospel that you have received, let him be accursed. What is the gospel? As a Christian that today can't tell you. I think it's just a random Bible verse. Oh, the gospel is the whole Bible. No, it's not. The gospel is what Jesus did for you, and most Christians can't tell you that. You know what they tell you? Oh, just live a good life. Stop your sinning. Thinking they can. Well, hold on. I mean, the Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none good, no, not one. In Romans 7, Paul says there's nothing good in our flesh. And the Bible says in Isaiah that if all our good works are filthy rags. Well, to try your best. And it's funny that I see on TikTok where, you know, Christians will upload this picture where it says, I believe in God versus I obey God, right? And they have like only two people on the obey path and then like a whole bunch of people on belief. But really, most Christians will agree with that post. They'll say, oh, look, thousands of people agreeing. Listen, that's not the narrow way. Obeying God won't save you. Obeying God's not the narrow way. The narrow way is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Few find it. Why? Because most people are trusting in their works. There's no difference between Islam and Catholics. They both teach a works-based righteousness. There's no difference between Muslims and Orthodoxy because they both teach a works-based salvation. There's no difference. That's the broad way unto destruction. You think the Pharisees were teaching people to sin? The Pharisees were teaching the law, telling them they must follow the law. And Jesus, you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. And in Jesus' earthly ministry, he raised the standard of the law. Oh, if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. Do you keep his commandments? No, no one does. No one loves him as the law demands. But many people think they're going to heaven because what? Oh, they do a lot of work for God. Oh, I serve God. I give my life to God. And they're on a pathway to destruction. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied, I cast out, I done many wonderful works. Those people didn't say, Lord, I trust you. My faith was in your blood. No, they were trusting what? Themselves. The will of the Father is for you to believe on the Son, to trust the Son. And if anyone is teaching another gospel, let them be damned. So yeah, I don't have patience with people, other Christians in VR chat. I don't know what they're going to say. They're going to spout out Satan's feces. You know, that guy comes in here thinking he's serving God, but he's serving Satan's shit. Excuse my language, but that's what he's serving. Martin Luther said about the Judaizers, he says they're speaking of Satan's feces. And that's what these people are doing now. They think, you know, what did Satan tempt Adam and Eve? Not with sexual sin. It was the knowledge of good and evil. What is that? The law. Galatians 3:8. You can be like God. You can be like holy and righteous if you knew what was right and from wrong. And that's the message that's taught in world religion. Just do what it's right. And everyone has their own standards. They think what's right. Christian and the Catholics will say sacraments and rosary, confess your sins. That's their righteousness. But Jesus said, no. I became sin for you so you can be made the righteous of God freely. So now, there's many different gospels. Different ones. Different types of Christians. Different Christian groups. Which one's right? How about you pick up Paul's letter to Galatia and read it for yourself? Let's see what he had to say. Verse 10. For do I not persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul doesn't care. Listen, in Galatia, we're going to see that men from James came down, the Lord's brother, James. Oh, brother James. He's no brother at all. The early Judaizers worshiped James. James taught law. Yo, James 2. That's what most Christians go by now. It's James 2. Well, faith that works is dead, brother. And I'm going to tell you something that you should need to know. Maybe you don't understand this. Is that James was wrong. Martin Luther said James' letter is a letter of a straw. It's nothing. It's weak. James was written before the events of Acts 15. Before Paul revealed his gospel to Jerusalem. Now, here's the issue. Why God raised up Paul. I'll tell you why. Now, salvation was always by faith alone. We see this in Acts chapter 10, where Peter was preaching to the Gentiles. They just believed in Jesus, and they received the Holy Spirit, and Peter was shocked. Like, hold on. They only believed, and they received the Holy Spirit. How is that possible? And you remember the verse in what Jesus said, that they'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit just by believing. But here was the issue. Because from Acts 1 to Acts 5, they were preaching to the Jews. But here was the issue with that. Those Jews who came to faith started to take custom of Moses and adding it to God's grace. Some Jews would say, okay, yeah, you're saved by faith alone, but if you want God's favor, you got to get circumcised, and they're putting that on the Gentiles. Some Jews said, no, you're saved by law keeping. You have to get circumcised. So what happened? The early church in Jerusalem, that was Peter, John, and James, not Paul yet, was taking a decline. Peter was preaching the right message. John was preaching the right message. But here's the issue. The most people coming into Jerusalem were Jews, and they're adding a lot of grace. Now they can reach Gentiles. Because when Peter was preaching to the Gentiles, faith alone, when they came to the church, they're trying to get them circumcised, get them back under the law. And Peter did nothing about it. He should have done something about it, but he didn't. So what did God do? Moved on from Peter. And he raised up Paul. That's why Paul came along. And what happened? They've forsaken him. They call him the Antichrist. They call him all these names. Peter agreed with Paul, and we see in Acts 15, we'll see in Galatians 2, next Wednesday we'll go to Galatians 2 and Acts 15, that Peter agreed with Paul that, hey, we're saved by grace. You should know this. But the issue was, okay, but let them get circumcised. No. They're saved by grace, Peter says. And then Paul said, yeah, Peter knew. Why? Because it was always by faith alone. Abraham was justified by faith. Genesis 15. Genesis 4, men began to call upon the Lord. It was always by faith alone, but here's the issue. In the early church, it was second decline. People were adding a lot of grace. So what did God do? He raised up Paul. Verse 11. Look what Paul says here. It's the most powerful verse in Galatians. One of the powerful verses. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, neither did I receive it of man, in other words, I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul's message was divinely revealed. It was not learned from Jerusalem, thank God. Because if Paul would have gone to Jerusalem, and if Peter wasn't there, if John wasn't there, if it was just James and the Jews, they'd probably tell Paul to get circumcised. So Jesus said, all right, Paul, here's the message I want you to preach, here's what I did for you, and here's what I secured. Again, Paul's message wasn't a new way of salvation, but it was a deep revelation of what salvation in Christ was. That the believer is not under law. We're righteous in Christ. See, the Jews knew it was by faith, but they sought to add law to grace because of the customs and traditions. And that's why God moved on. And so when Gentile believers began to believe, Jewish believers pressured them to keep the customs and circumcision and Sabbath diary rules, trying to put them back under law. Some Jews did it for salvation, some did it for Christian living. So God had to raise up Paul so that the purity of grace will continue. But Paul says, my gospel is not of man. I didn't learn from in Jerusalem. I received directly from Christ himself. Paul's authority wasn't human ordained. It was ordained by God. And yet, if you notice in religion, no one preaches Paul. Look at me real quick. You go to your church, they won't touch Galatians with a 10-foot pole. And when they do, they read only like, oh, well, you know, Paul, yeah, you know. Oh, Paul says we're dead to the law. That's not what he really means. No, it's clear. On this side of the cross, the law is abolished. It's done away with. Ephesians 2:15. We're not just saved by faith. We live by faith. It's no longer about us. For God has judged our flesh with all its virtues and sins and afflictions and lusts at the cross and made a new creation. And by faith in him, you're a new creation spiritually. You're reborn, born again. God no longer sees you in your sins. You know, that guy was a white supremacist, you know, who came here trying to debate about Jews. He hates Jews. Well, he's a Jew. He himself is a Jew for thinking he can keep the law. If Paul was here, Paul would rebuke him to his face like he did Peter. Talking about, oh, well, I don't like the Jews, preacher. I don't like the Jews. You are a Jew if you think you have to keep the law. We're dead to it. You are a Judaizer. You agree with them. This church that you see here, listen, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you about our community here. We know one thing. We know people have been here for a while. We know that the church is not a building. It's not an established organization. It's the body of Christ. This is what God revealed to Paul. Every believer is part of it. It's spiritual. You're members of Jesus' body. It's not a building. It's not a big building with beautiful art. It's the body of Christ. It's spiritual. This building means nothing. I can add any kind of signs I want up, any kind of flags I want on here. It means nothing to God. And I usually do it. I just do it to offend the self-righteous people. But I want you to know now the gospel. You should know the gospel. You should know what the gospel is. It is faith alone and Christ alone. So now you should be able to discern between what is grace and what is law. You should be smarter than in Galatia. And of course, I say it with fear and trembling because I can get deceived myself. But again, these people in Galatia, they were still saved. They were just bewitched. They were deceived. But Paul says, my gospel is not of human origin. I don't mean to preach mad at that. I'm just saying, that guy made me mad. So I've been preaching a little mad. I do apologize. But anyway, God raised Paul. Not to keep the simplicity of faith, but to show that the believers, that they were now free from the law. Peter agreed with Paul, by the way, because Peter would have ate with Gentiles. And under law, you couldn't eat with Gentiles. And we'll see in Acts 15 next Wednesday how, okay, we won't put you back under the law, but here's some rules we want that you to follow. Don't fornicate. Don't eat things offered to idols. And Paul left that church like, no, this is garbage. I'm gone. Paul didn't. Why? Because Paul says, listen, idols are nothing. There's only one guy. On TikTok, there was a TikTok. What's that doll everyone's making a big deal about? Like a little toy doll. It's like a little, like, I guess it had like a demonic face. What's it called?
Yeah. Lububu.
Lububu. You have all these Christians. Oh, that's so demonic. You know what Paul says? Idols are nothing. There's no power to them. It is you, false Christians, giving it some weird superstition. Well, there's nothing there. If you want to go by that standard, then watching violent movies, playing violent games, you can't do that. They won't do that. They won't stop. Don't touch. Paul says this in Colossians 2. If you died with Christ, why are you living under this world's rules? Touch not, taste not, handle not. And what do churches tell you? Don't eat that. Don't touch that. Don't taste that. Paul says, you died to that with Christ. Why are you going back to that? You're free from religious bondage. This message of grace is not popular. Never was. Paul was betrayed by all his friends. They all left him. And in his ministry, only a couple people were with him. He got his head chopped off in Rome for preaching this message, I'm telling you now, of grace. John, kind of, Peter and John followed after Paul's footsteps. John went to Ephesus to fix it, to kind of help there. Okay. I don't know what the Lord did with John. We don't know much about what John did at Ephesus, but we know the Gospel of John was written at Ephesus. And do you know the Gospel of John is filled with what Paul taught? The Gospel of Luke? Most historians will say, well, the Gospel of Luke is about forgiveness and grace. Yeah, because Luke was with Paul. So these Gospels that we have. Now, Matthew is mostly for the Jews because it focused more on Jesus' earthly ministry, raising the law. But Luke and John, you'll see it's very grace-filled. But when Paul died, I mean, most of his churches departed. Most of them, and that's what we see in Revelation. Jesus was pissed off in Revelation. Right? He sounded very angry because these churches forsaking grace, they're forsaking Paul. They gone the way of Cain. Sorry, I just tabbed out of my virtual desktop. All right, verse 13. If you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion. So again, this religious world, this zeal without revelation, this Judaism, which is just rules, regulation, commandments, and doctrines, following God's laws. Paul says, you have heard about my past in that religion. Think about this. Paul knew the law in and out better than me and you, better than probably the apostles. He goes on to say this. Beyond measure, how I persecuted the church of God. So before Paul got saved, Paul attacked Christians. And he said, I wasted a prophet in the Jewish religion. Men of my equals in my own nation. Be more exactly of the churches of my fathers. The law, basically. He said, listen, I knew the law in and out. I was more zealous than my own Jews' companion. What did God do? Look at the next verse. But when it pleased God, who severed from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. I might preach him on the heathen, that's Gentile. So think about this. This hardcore Jew, where if you go to Gentiles, it's against the law of Moses is against it. God revealed him in Acts 9, like, hey, Paul. And Paul was probably going crazy. What the hell is this? And the Lord revealed himself to Paul. And Paul probably had a crisis of faith. So this whole time, what I was doing and my religion, it was wrong. It wasn't of you, but I thought I was serving you. I was keeping your commandments. And he said, nope, you're persecuting me. And Jesus said, all right, Paul, here's the issue I'm having. The people I sent out are taking, they're not preaching the right message. They're not standing up for the truth of grace. They're not reaching Gentiles. So Paul, I need you to preach this. And what did Paul do? He did that. He's all right, Lord. Paul had this revelation of grace. When I got saved, I knew salvation was by faith alone. But I thought I was still under the law. And I thought I was serving God by calling homosexuals faggots. Excuse my language there, but I'll be honest with you. If you met me a couple years ago, you wouldn't want to be around me. I thought I was serving God when I was telling transgender people that they're homos and going to hell. But really, I was serving my own flesh, my pride, my ego. And what did God do? He destroyed it. He showed me that I'm just guilty before anyone else. And he led me to the book of Galatians. And I saw my freedom. Not just that, I saw their freedom. I saw your freedom. I said, this whole time, I was preaching something wrong. I may have the right gospel to how to go to heaven, but would it matter? Because it was perverted. I was perverting it at the same time by adding law to grace. So, you know, our church, people don't like it. Other churches don't like it. We had an issue. I'll tell you what, all the other churches on here don't like me. They don't. They'll tell you things about me. They'll say, oh, that church tells you that gays can go to heaven. We do teach that. The Bible tells us that salvation is a free gift. It's not based on who you like or don't like. It's based on what Jesus did. That's what Paul says. And in the Corinthian church, there were gay believers, right? And they were saved. Paul says, listen, knowing that the unrighteous not go to heaven. Who's unrighteous? Unbelievers. Every believer has been made the righteous of God in Christ. You're righteous because of what Jesus did, because you believe what he did. God imputes his righteousness unto you. So you're righteous. I don't feel like it. I don't live like it. We're not talking about how you live. We're talking about who you are because of what Christ did. The unrighteous are unbelievers, and unbelievers are still dead in their sins. That's why in 1 Corinthians 6, it says, listen, don't be deceived. Fornicators, whatever, list all those sins. But why? Because unbelievers are dead in their sins. But as believers, your sins have been forgiven, and you've been made the righteous of God in Christ by faith. Your past, present, have been forgiven, no longer reckoned to, no longer imputed to you. So that's why Paul says, such were some of you. At one point, we were all unbelievers. Listen, at one point, us today, all of us were reprobates. All of us were outside of Christ, dead in our sins. But by faith in Christ, we're what? Made alive, washed, justified, sanctified. So Paul was even telling us that those people in Corinth, those who were gay, were saved, were righteous, were justified because of what Jesus did. So our church is open for anybody. Except for Judaizers. Except for people who come here like that, who condemn homosexuality and condemn other sins, while then themselves sin every day. Paul says in Romans 2:1, therefore, thou art excusable, O man, because where thou judgest, thou doest the same things. Well, I don't have gay sex, but do you look at women with lust? Do you lie? Do you steal? Do you cuss? Well, yeah, but there's no buts. Romans 3:9, what shall we say then? Are we better than they? In no wise we have proven Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. As it is when there's none righteous, still not one. All sins equal in God's eyes. But here's the good news. The cross. Jesus became sin, yet knew no sin, so you and me can be made the righteous of God in Christ freely. Paul says in Romans 3:28, therefore we have concluded a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And we see in Romans 4:5, it's to him that works not, those that have zero works, but believe on him. And not just that. In verse 7, blessed are they whose sins are covered, whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the man who will not impute sin. So the moment you believe what Jesus did, you are fully made the righteous of God in Christ. You're justified, you're sanctified, and all your sins are gone, forgiven, past, present, future. But not just that. Yeah, we're forgiven, But God is now pleased with you. God is now comfortable with you because of what Jesus did. No matter what state and condition you're in, that's the good news of grace, of the gospel. And that was the gospel that Paul preached. In Acts 13, he was preaching to, I don't know who he was preaching, but he was preaching to a group of Gentiles, and he said this, "Be it therefore known, brethren, that through this man has preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. By believing what he did, you are justified from all things which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses." He said, listen, the law says you can't be forgiven. You should be stoned to death, killed. But now you've been declared righteous freely. Apart from that, God has delivered you from the law. You're free from it. Paul goes on to say this, "To reveal his son in me, to preach among the heathen, immediately I confer not with flesh and blood." Meaning he did not go to Jerusalem. He did not go to the other apostles. He started to preach this message of grace. Amen. Verse 17. Oh, verse, yeah, 17. Neither when I went to Jerusalem, to which were apostles before me, I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter and both in 15 days. So Peter and Paul got along. I think Peter and Paul were good friends for a while. They were friends. But then we'll see in Galatians 2, something happened. You know, they got a little argument, but we'll see that soon. But he says, verse 19, well, just real quick. Paul's training came in Arabia. He started to preach. He started to, you know, preach the gospel right away. And he probably met Barnabas by that time. Barnabas saw him preaching. And this is where Paul went to meet the other apostles. And keep this in mind, the other apostles were afraid of Paul because he killed Christians before he got saved. So they're really iffy about him. Many Jews thought he was a Roman spy and all that. But Barnabas trusted him. Barnabas knew he was of grace. Barnabas went with Paul. And then the other people glorify, and we'll see right here, they glorify God in him. Look right here, verse 19. But other apostles I saw none, James, Lord's brother. Now the things I write unto you, I lie not. Okay. And Paul again reminded his credibility here, that he might know other apostles. His gospel is still without human confirmation. And this should show us that there's only one true headquarters in heaven. That's Christ himself, not men. But he goes on to say in verse 21, afterwards I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by the face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ before, but they have only heard which I persecuted in times past, but now preach the faith which he once destroyed, and they glorified God in me. So they realize that Paul is of God. So they, oh, amen, pretty, that sounds great. Yes, they're all friends at first. Well, next Wednesday we'll see. No. And I'm going to show you something, and maybe you haven't heard of the church, that not all apostles agree with each other. And you're going to see that next week, Wednesday, in our Galatians 2, not all apostles agree with each other. Now, John and Peter agree to Paul, but you're going to see something. Now, of course, I'll spoil a little bit right now, because I'm just going to preach it, I don't care. Peter agreed to Paul, and you see that in Acts 15. But the issue was after the council, Peter withdrew and went back to the law, and we see Peter getting rebuked by Paul. But during the council, Peter knew freedom of grace. John did probably too. But there was one guy in there that did not agree with Paul, and his name was what? James. So the big debate on whether justification is by faith or by works is because of James. And for years, there's been this complex theology where people are trying to fit Paul with James. I'm going to tell you, they don't fit. They don't agree. And we'll see that next Wednesday. But here's a recap of Galatians chapter 1. We'll finish up. Number one, the authority of the gospel was rooted in Christ's resurrection, not human endorsement. Number two, deliverance from this present evil age, which is freedom from religion and bondage and self-effort. Number three, the perverted gospel, which was law mixed with grace, that troubles believers to nullify liberty and grace. Number four, revelation of Christ in us. Paul's distinct message is now Christ lives in the believer. And that's what Paul preached, Christ in the hope of glory. And then five, one true headquarters, which is Christ himself. And so anyway, Galatians 1 is a good chapter. I was a little angry today. I got pretty angry. I do apologize again, but I had no patience with these Judaizers. You know, today was gonna be a good. That was gonna be more upbeat sermon on you know joy. I was a little angry, but I'm just how I am. So I wasn't yelling at you guys. I was just you know preaching against the Judaizers. But that's what I'm gonna show you. My point with this series is to show you the liberty in Christ, to show you the gospel, to show you your freedom. You don't want to wait. It's simple. Believe in Jesus, you're saved. That's the gospel, what Christ did for you. And now you're free from the law. That's how simple it is. And what the goal of this series is hopefully to give you the wisdom and discernment and say, wow, these people that I thought were Christians are not Christians. They're teaching a false gospel. It works. Or hey, these people I thought were Christians, they have somewhat of a grace view, but now they're adding law to Christian living. And the goal is to help you discern. But anyway, that's it for Galatians chapter 1. Hopefully you stay for, you have questions or you want to stay for fellowship. And this will be open for a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and pray. I'm going to hang out, ask questions, and just fellowship. Lord, I thank you for the gathering today. I thank you for our freedom in you, Lord. I thank you for the book of Galatians or the letter of Galatians, Lord, that Paul wrote to Galatia, that we can actually read and see the good news of grace and liberty, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that, you know, but I got a little angry today because of that Judaizer, and I didn't even speak mad, Lord, but I do pray that you can use it for good, Lord. I know you will. And I just pray for these people here, Lord, that they don't think of me differently for seeing that side of me, Lord. And I just pray that they realize that I'm human too. You know, I'm not this holy man of God. I'm human. I'm a sinner. Just like everyone else here, Lord. And I just pray that we just remind each other of who we are in you, your grace, your mercy, Lord. And we thank you for your love and grace. And we thank you for the liberty that we have in you, the message of grace, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. Service is dismissed for fellowship. You have any questions? You want to hang out? There we go.